الله وبركاته. I also join my voice in giving condolences to my good friends at Nasser family and other families for the departure of Marhum Ghulam Rida Gulbuni, and may Allah bless his soul and bestow patience, inshallah, and forgiveness, bestow patience on his family and forgiveness and mercy on him and all those who passed away, and also forgiveness and mercy on us because we are in line. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. And I ask you to recite Surah Al-Fatiha for his soul. Al-Fatiha ma'a salati ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين ذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. سورة يونس آية نمبر 31. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل من يرزقكم من السماء والأرض أم من يملك السمع والأبصار ومن يخرج الحي من الميت ويخرج الميت من الحي ومن يدبر الأمر فسيقولون الله فقل أفلا تتقون. فذلكم الله ربكم الحق فماذا بعد الحق إلا الضلال فأنى تصرفون. كذلك حقت كلمة ربك على الذين فسقوا أنهم لا يؤمنون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
In verse 31 in Surah Yunus, there are four questions here. And the answer to these four questions, they lead us to the most important subject in the Islamic faith, and that is the subject of monotheism, at-tawheed. At-tawheed is the core essence of Islam. And also, in these four answers, we can find the intellectual signs when people incorporate their reason and their brain, they're going to find their way to the real creator and the sustainer of this universe. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they would also find that why he is the only one who is worthy of worship, not other objects. Why God is the only worthy object of worshipping and servitude. The first question, Allah says, ask your community, Ya Rasulullah, ask those pagans in Mecca, let them use their reason in finding their Lord, not their emotions, their reason. Ask them, قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Say, who provides you who provides you with provision, rizq, and sustenance from the sky and the earth. Sustenance or rizq, it means all types of provisions necessary for our physical, mental, and spiritual growth. Rizq does not only mean food or drink. Rizq could be also family. When you have a family, this is a type of provision and sustenance that God is providing you with. Rizq also is education, ilm, and knowledge. This is another type of rizq. Rizq could be wealth, material wealth, which is money, and it could be immaterial, moral wealth, which could be akhlaq. Good character is also a type of rizq that Allah gives and provides and bestows on so many people. The best type of rizq, moral rizq that God would provide to people is the afaf, continence. When your soul is rich, it's not cheap. When you become a person who knows your own value. Some people, their pockets are filled with money, but the soul, the heart is cheap. And some people, the pocket is empty, but the heart is filled with self-control, with continence. With continence, with afaf, with self-value, with abstinence. They abstain from doing cheap things, immoral things. They do not cheapen themselves. Sometimes a person would use God to support his or her argument. He would take an oath, by Allah, ukhuda, billah, this, for the sake of 50 cents. For the sake of 50 cents, he argues just to get these 50 cents out of your pocket. He cheapens God. He brings God in the middle to prove that he's right and you are wrong, so he can make 50 cents. This person does not have continence, afaf. Afaf is when you are hungry, the stomach is hungry, but the heart tells you, no, don't cheapen yourself. You have value. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. The difference between us and animals. Animals, when they are hungry, they ask for food at any cost. They don't recognize, they don't distinguish that this food is not for them. But for us, even if we are hungry, we don't touch the food that does not belong to us. This is richness. Real richness is when we put values first. We put moral values first. Today, very few people who put moral values before material values. Moral values is not to cheapen yourself. It's to be honorable. It's to be respected. It's to have some self-respect for yourself, your family, your community. So this is a type of sustenance, rizq. Sometimes Allah gives food and a drink, and sometimes He gives honor and dignity. That's more important than food and drink. These are all called rizq. Sometimes you have been endowed with another type of rizq, which is good friends and good community. If you are surrounded by good friends, good family members, this is also rizq, ruzi. This is another type of sustenance and provision, that you have a couple of two friends around you who can be advisors to you, who could be there for you when you need them. This is another rizq. But Allah says the best type of rizq that I can ever provide to anyone is what? Guess, what is it? Is aql. Aql and reason, brain. Allah says this is the best rizq I can give to any person. Because if he has aql, he's going to have everything. If he does not have aql, he's going to have nothing. He's going to lose everything. People with aql, ulil albab, they use their brain, they use their reason, they get everything. But once they compromise their aql, one time a person asked me that why alcohol is forbidden in your religion. Alcohol is good for the heart, they say. You know, it's good. It's a good drink. I said, maybe it is good for the heart, but it is not good for the mind. And the mind is more important than the heart. Your mind is more important than your heart. So don't hurt your brain. Even if a cardiologist says, this is good for your heart, tell him, but I don't want to hurt my brain. Once I drink, I lose my mental capacity. It gets compromised. And I don't want to hurt myself, because this is my dignity. If I'm a dignified person, because of my brain, my reason. This is what distinguishes me from animals. So here Allah says, this is risk. قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ. Say to them, who provides you with this type of sustenance from the sky and the earth? The apparent meaning of the sky and the earth, what do we get from the sky, my friends?
Rain.
We get rain. And what else we get from the sky?
No.
The sun. The sun and the rain. These are important things. And what do we get from the earth? We get the produce, the vegetation, the food that we eat. But that's the surface meaning. The inner meaning of that is that Allah has two types of teachers and educators. One of them are heavenly, those are the prophets, the messengers, the apostles, who convey for us the revelation of God, the scriptures, the Torah, the Injil, the Gospel, the Quran, the Psalm. Those are the heavenly teachers, God's mercy. And then we have the earthly ones, who are those teachers that you have. It could be your mother, a teacher. If you have a good mother, that mother is going to be a good teacher. Your father, the school that you go to. Those two types of teachers, the heavenly one and the earthly one, also Allah consider them as a type of sustenance and rizq. قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. By the way, there is an important question here. We know that Allah is the provider. Therefore, His name in the Quran is Ar-Raziq, and also what? Who can say this? Ar-Razzaq. Razzaq, when He keeps providing you, Razzaq. Not only one time, many times, multiple times. This name belongs to Him. But Allah says sometimes, on this earth, you have some people who are also Raziq. Also Raziq. He calls them in the Quran. If you look at the Holy Quran, chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 233. Allah says about marriage, marital life, and the responsibility of fathers and husbands. Allah says, when your wife delivers a baby for you, then it is your own responsibility. وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ. It is the responsibility of a father. Or the father. رزقهم رزقهن وكسوتهن بالمعروف. Raziq. He becomes Raziq. Although he's a human being, he's not God. But God calls him in the Quran, He calls him a provider, Raziq, sustainer. Sustainer. So, the responsibility of the father is to provide for the family. وعلى المولود له رزقهن وكسوتهن. Not just food, but clothing. He has the responsibility of sustaining them and clothing them in an honorable way. So in the family, the responsibility of the father is to provide. And the responsibility of the mother is to help the father. Not to argue with him every day. It's to leave him alone, let him focus on his work. Let him go out with peace of mind, without nagging. And he comes back home so he can bring and sustain and continue his responsibility. The responsibility of the father is to work hard. This is his job. Your job. If you don't like this job, don't get married. Don't get married. Don't have children. If you are not ready for it. So once you get married and you have children, then it is your responsibility. Do not tell your wife, listen, I'm doing you a favor. I'm bringing food. No, this is your responsibility. But the job of your wife is to help you and support you. Support you morally, psychologically, to make you stronger, healthier, to enable you to go and find a good job and to focus on your work. Not to call you every 5 minutes, oh, there's a pipe which is broken, oh, this is... No, leave him alone, let him do his work. Help him to help his family. This is in the Quran. So now let me ask you this question. Can you go to an imam, any imam, and tell him, Ya Imam, or you go to the Prophet and tell him, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Prophet, O Imam Rida, O Imam Ali, O Imam Hussein, give me food, give me drink, give me a husband, give me a wife, give me money, give me health. Can you say this or you cannot say this? We have two cases. If you go to an imam who works for God and who's appointed by God, or to a prophet, then definitely you can, because you are asking Allah through him. But if you go to an idol, a statue, idols, but, asnam, you can't ask them, because we have something in the Quran. Allah says, if you ask a human being who works for me, who represents me, which is a prophet, be it Musa, Isa, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim, or imams, and you ask them, they work for me. They are not independent from me. They work for me. So through them, you can ask me. There is nothing wrong with that. Bi-idhnillah. Where is this? It's in the Quran. Allah says, bi-idhnillah, with God's permission. Isa says, I resurrect the dead. I stand on a grave and I say to the dead who has been dead for a while, for many years, قُم بِإِذْنِ stand with God's permission. He stands. So he's a resurrector, but not by himself. By whom? By Allah. He works on behalf of God. While if you go to an idol, idol is not appointed by God, neither endorsed by God, neither will lead you to God. He will lead you away from God. So you are not allowed to ask an idol. This is the difference. Where do we see the difference? In this book. Allah says there are two types of calling upon me. Sometimes, bi-idhnillah, I give permission. I give permission. I tell you, okay, ask him. Because he leads to me. I am the end of the trip, the end of the journey. While min dunillah, without God's permission, it's not allowed. Are you with me? This is the difference. So if you go to an imam, you may say to him, Ya Imam Rida, please help me to find a job. Help me to find a partner. Help me for healing. Because he's wasila, connection with God. He's not an idol, neither he's against God. He's one of the servants of God. But he's a highway to God. Highway, carpool. Don't you use carpool to go come faster? The imams are carpools for God. They get us faster. They will get us faster. Allah says, if you want to come to me faster, go through the Prophet. This is in the Quran. Go to the Prophet. Ask the Prophet to seek forgiveness for you. Sometimes your forgiveness is inadequate. It's not enough. So ask the Prophet. This is here in this book. So this is the first question. قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Ask, Ya Rasulullah, ask those Meccans, the pagans, Who provides you with provision and sustenance other than God? This is the first question. The second one, وَمَنْ أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. Who has power over hearing and sight? Who has power and control over hearing and sight? Hearing and sight. Two important tools to reflect and to understand and to comprehend. This is why Allah says, you were babies, little babies, you knew nothing. Wallahu akhrajakum, He took you out of your mother's womb. لا تعلمون شيئا. You knew nothing about this universe. Nothing. You had no clue, no idea. وَجَعَلَ. But after He established for you, created for you, السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ. He created you the hearing, the sight, and the hearts. The hearts means the mind, the reason. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. You may give thanks to Him. You may appreciate Him and respect Him and worship Him. But we don't do that. We think this is our own talent. We are helping ourselves. Many people don't appreciate God. Like many teenagers who never appreciate their mothers and their fathers, we, the adult, mankind, many of us, we don't appreciate God. We forget about His multiple blessings. So they are, the hearing and the sight are the main gates for learning and knowledge. But now there is an important question. Why Allah says when it comes to hearing, singular, as-sama'a, but when it comes to the sight, He uses plural term, absar, not basar. Basar is singular. Plural is, absar is a plural. Why? Just because He was short of vocabulary, He just threw words? No. Every single letter in the Quran is crafted carefully. Every single letter, not word, a letter in the Quran. Why? Because the discernments of things in this universe and the realization of things, the comprehension of things, is more done by the sight rather than the ears. You see more by your sight than you hear things by your ears. It's more. This is why Allah says, Absar has a bigger role. Although the first sense that is triggered and activated after birth, even before birth, is which one? Sam, the hearing. But after that, when you grow, the faculty of the sight is much bigger in the process of realization of things and understanding things and discernment. This is why Allah uses in the Quran, throughout the Quran, even in Surah Al-Baqarah, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ one. And then وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ plural. سَمْعِهِمْ singular. أَبْصَارِهِمْ plural. Multiple. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةً. Allah says, some people, don't waste your time with them. Don't waste your time. Because of their insistence on wrongdoing, on injustice, on arrogance, there is no way they can come back to us. So don't waste your time. Allah has sealed. Not him because he dislikes them, no. Because they did something that they reached this point through their own understanding. Today I was listening in the news on NPR that a police officer in Oklahoma was sentenced to 263 years. 263 years behind bar. Because rather than helping the people, he would rape women. He's a police officer. And he would choose his victims from the African-American community, black women, because they are weaker, they have no voice, they are afraid to come forward. So he would prey on them. 263 years behind bars. Did God ask him to do this, inspired him to do this, or allowed him to do this? It's him. It is him. Through our own free will. And then after that, Allah says, "Woman," the third question, "وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْ" Ask them, Ya Rasulullah, ask Quraysh, "وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ." Who brings forth the living from the dead and brings forth the dead from the living? There is a metaphor here, my friends. Most commentators and exegetes, they say this verse, there is a metaphor here. Important metaphor, hidden meaning. The hidden meaning says, يخرج الحي من الميت, brings forth the living from the dead. It means sometimes parents are bad, but the children are good. And sometimes it's exactly the opposite. The parents are good, honorable, but the children are lost. You can see this on a daily basis. You can see this in your community, in your society, in many families. Sometimes parents are bad, but the son, the daughter, they came to a point that they wanted to find and discover themselves. So they went after research and discovery. And Allah says, whoever goes after research and discovery of me and religion, I can get him to his target, his or her target. I would not waste their effort. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, those who work for God and the cause of God with sincerity and dedication. Difficult. Sincerity of dedication nowadays is very difficult. You work with ikhlas, it's very difficult. We live in a society that's based on facade. It's not based on genuine work. Many people, they love to show up, to show off. But there is no genuine work. Allah says, if there is no dedication and sincerity, I'm not going to help. Once there is dedication and sincerity, I would definitely, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ لَلَمْ, it means I will, no doubt about it. I will guide them to the right path. I will make their work fruitful. Fruitful. Whether social, economic, political, intellectual, spiritual, if they have dedication. But unfortunately, this is a disease that is spreading among Muslims and non-Muslims, that ikhlas and sincerity is missing. Very few who really have God in their hearts and they work only for Him, not for dunya. Very few people. This is why Allah says, even those who pray, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. You see the mosques in Muslim countries, mosques are packed, but the results are zero. Results, there are no results. Arabistan. So here Allah says sometimes parents are bad, but children become good. And sometimes it's the opposite. Parents are very good and very noble and very honorable, but unfortunately they did not take care of their children. So their children are lost. It's not enough for you to be good. You have to transfer this goodness to the next generation. It's not enough. Allah says in the Holy Quran, in this book, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. People, try to avoid Jahannam, not just you, but أَهْلِيكُمْ, your families too. Try to work hard. Sometimes we work hard, but it does not work. Allah says, okay, you are excused. that if someone does not work hard, then he or she would be responsible. So if we work hard on our children and leave the rest with God, we will see good results. Some people don't work hard, or they try to work hard later, not in the beginning. Today I say always this: your children is yours before the age of 15. After the age of 15, they are not yours anymore. They are not yours. They belong to the society. They belong to the social media, to their friends, to their schools. They are not yours. So if you intend to teach them, to guide them before the age of 15, after that, you are wasting your time. That is the critical age. Many parents, they desert their children at this age. They go to work, they have little time, they come back home tired, exhausted. They don't communicate with their children. And the influence outside is much greater than the influence of the society, of the family. It's late. But if you try to begin your journey with them, I have seen some women who are concerned about the safety of their children, their moral safety, not just physical. Even when the child is in their wombs, they are carrying it, they say, I'm worried about this. I'm thinking of a good school, good Islamic center, good community, good friends, good families. This is a responsible mother, and Allah would not let her down. When Allah sees that we have dedication in this, we are committed, He will hold our hands. But when we become careless, and then at the age of when the boy or the girl, they reach, you know, the puberty age, they are 20 years old, then we want to go after them, it is too late. وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. This is the third question, and the fourth and the last one. وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ. Ask them, Ya Rasulullah, ask your community, those Arabs of Mecca, the pagans, who directs the affairs of this universe? Who's in control? Who's in control? They will say, they will answer, فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. They will say, the pagans who worship idols, they say, undoubtedly, it is God who controls the universe. So say to them, أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Will you not then be reverent and pious and reasonable and worship Him and stay away from those idols? Because you know what is happening. You know the one who's directing this universe is God. So turn to Him. Why do you turn away from Him? Every human being, my friends, wherever he or she is born, they know by their natural instinct, fitra, natural instinct, their natural disposition. They know that there is a creator in this universe who created them, sustained them, helped them, and they have to establish connection with him. They know that. فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله. فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله. Fitra, it's the natural disposition. Every single newly born baby knows that this universe has a creator, has a caretaker, has a supervisor. But unfortunately, after that, society starts changing them. Now, another question here. يدبر الأمر. يدبر. The verb is يدبر. Now, what is the adjective of this verb? What is it? يدبر comes from what? تدبير. So Allah is what? مدبر. Can something else be mudabbir too? Allah is the mudabbir. Can something else in this universe be mudabbir too? Caretaker too? Can or cannot? What do you think? In the Quranic language, can someone be mudabbir other than God? Who can bring you help, oxygen, food, shelter, or only God? What do you think? Let's make voting between men and women. See who wins, who's more intellectual tonight. Only tonight, not outside. What do you think? Sent. The result of you visiting Imam Hussein, Allah is going giving you more knowledge, alhamdulillah, and more insight. Allah says in this book, Surah An-Nazi'at. Surah An-Nazi'at is chapter 79. Allah says, Wal mudabbirati amra. He describes the angels as mudabbir. Mudabbir, the plural. The feminine plural of it is mudabbirat. The masculine plural is what? Mudabbirin. Feminine is mudabbirat. Allah says the angels are also mudabbir. But are they mudabbir by themselves or on behalf of something else? On behalf of God. Because remember, my friends, Tawheed, monotheism, has many branches. Many branches. Tawheed of that, Tawheed of Sifat. I'm not going to delve into these tonight. One of them is Tawheed al-Af'al. What does that mean? The unity of the deeds. It means that every movement, every motion, every gesture in this universe is attributed to God. He has the power over it. Tonight, when you decided to come here, to this place, who gave you this power, physical power, to make it here? God. Can He stop you from coming or not? He has no control. Definitely has power to stop people from reaching their destination. On a daily basis, people leave their homes, going to work, they don't reach work. They get killed. Or on the way back home, they don't reach home. God does not want them to reach home. So He has the power. This means Tawheed al-Af'al. He is the superpower. He has power over everything. He is behind any motion, any movement. Tawheed al-Af'al. But sometimes God gives you this physical power and He says, I'll give the choice to you to decide what you're going to do. To do with this physical power. Either you go to a mosque to learn to worship, or you go to a nightclub. This is up to you. You decide. The power from me, the decision is from you. This is how we understand it. In some schools of thought, they say you have no choice. God forced you to come to the mosque tonight. And the one who went tonight to the nightclub, God forced him to. We have no choice. We are bereft of choice or freedom. This is one school of thought. And this school of thought is producing terrorists and radicals today, filling the whole world. But in the school of Ahlul Bayt, we follow Ahlul Bayt. And Ahlul Bayt, they follow their grandfather Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say that it's a partnership with God. God provides part of it, and you have to provide the other part. God says, I give you money, wealth, but I am not going to dictate how you're going to spend this money. I leave it for your own understanding, your own reason, your own free choice. Some people use it in goodness. They help others. They help their families, their societies. And some people go to Las Vegas and they burn their wealth and their money there. It's up to them. This is Tawheed al-Af'al, my friends. Tawheed al-Af'al, every motion belongs to God. But God says, this power belongs to me. I supplied you with the power. But I left the choice for you. Sometimes with this power you can save and help. Sometimes you can kill and destroy. Are you with me? This is Tawheed al-Af'al. But then also Allah says, sometimes I do things by myself. I execute them by myself. And sometimes I ask for delegation to do it for me. For instance, who sends the rain? God sends the rain? God is behind the rain, but does He open the shower for us and shut the shower? He has a process, scientific process. He created this scientific process. It would do the job on His behalf, but He's behind the scene. Who brings the heat? Himself? No. Yes, He's behind it, the original source. But He has something called what? Sun. He created sun. خلق الشمس والقمر. So the sun brings the light and the heat. Who gives us knowledge? Do you see God directly in your dream and He teaches you? No. He says, I am behind the knowledge, but I ask you to go to school. You have to go and learn it from a teacher. Who brings your children? It's God. God decides that you have to have children. He's behind it. He's the bestower. But does He bring you a baby overnight? Delivery with DHL, you know, knocking at your door. This is baby from God. No, no. He says, go and get married. Be aqil. Good boy, good girl. Get married. Like each other. And then you're going to get a baby. I have means. This is called in this universe a law. Do you know the name of this law, my friend? Al-illatu wal-ma'lul. The law of cause and effect. Every effect has a cause. Illa and ma'lul. Sabab and musabbib. Or musabbab. Cause and effect. Allah says, shifa, healing is from me. Ask me, I will give you healing. If there is goodness in it. Sometimes, no, it's not good for you. You have to leave. I decide whether it's good for you or not. But you ask me. It's like a father. The children, they come to the parents, daddy, give me money. If the father is wise and he loves his children, sometimes he says, no, I love you, but I don't give you the money. Because now, money is not good for you now. Maybe at another time I would give you, but not now. Same thing with life and death. Some people say, well, we prayed for this guy. He was sick. He had cancer. God did not answer the prayers. No, God did answer. And He chose what is best for him or her. God did answer. We, through the limited reason we have, we think that God did not answer. But God said, what I did was very good. He came to me at the best time. At the best time. So the same thing with mudabbirat. Angels, they are delegates of Allah. Delegates. They work for Him. The work is directed by Him. But mudabbirat, they get the commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing when you go to the imam and ask him for healing. Some people say, no, 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 this is shirk. Don't do this. Ask God. Allah says, no, the healing from me. But I have an agent. This agent on earth, his name is Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. This agent on earth, his name is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Tawheedul Af'al. Tawheedul Af'al. So, this is the fourth question Allah says, ask them. قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. This is the first. أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ فَقُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. The best thing to say during the Fatiha ceremony is the Holy Quran and the ilm and the knowledge of this book. That is the best gift you send to the deceased. Much bigger than food and fruits and coffee and tea and this and that is to know what God wants us to do, is to get familiar with His book. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat innaka mujibud da'awat innaka ghafirul khati'at innaka mahis sayyi'at wa ja'iluha hasanat innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Let's recite amman yujibul muftar for so many people who asked us here in America and outside America. Some of them are in the hospital having surgeries right now at this moment, so please let's remember them and pray for them. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman yujibul muftar idha da'ahu yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muftar idha da'ahu yakshifu as-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات برئيس شادي روح المرحوم جناب أي غلام رزاق يقول بني الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.